Greetings, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Good to see you. And we'll go ahead and get started. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and we are here on Thursday, September 4th, 2025, for our World Peace Meditation. And we'll just go ahead and jump in. I have to just say it's an unusually beautiful day here in Northern California. We have wonderful weather here typically, but today was really nice. It's cooling down a little bit, and so we've been out working in our garden and harvesting lots of figs lately, and mirabelles, and also some which are plums, and also some prunes actually, which is kind of nice. So, as well as zucchinis and all that other kind of stuff. And I'm letting a few more people come in. It seems like we're a little bit unusually light here in our attendance, but I guess people are running late. But I don't like to start late, so we'll go ahead and start on time since you folks are here. So we're still for about two more months here in Northern California before we head out onto the road, so we have the wonderful piano. And so let's just begin our time. As you know, we go a maximum of 1 hour. And the first maybe 15 or 20 minutes, we have a meditation, and then we go into any concerns or questions anyone has about anything related to veganism, spirituality, and not too much focusing on politics, more focusing on the spiritual dimension. And this is open to everyone. So, all right, let's go ahead and begin. And, feel free to turn your attention within as we begin our time of meditation. Thank you very much. So let's connect with our breathing. With every exhalation, we allow our mind to relax into this present moment. Letting go of any thoughts of the past, any thoughts of the future. And giving thanks for all the blessings in our life and for this precious opportunity a human birth, for the opportunity to receive the teachings that turn our minds away from the delusion of separateness to the truth of the infinite interconnectedness of all life. That we are all interconnected and that there is one life living through all of us, all forms of life. So as we continue to breathe and relax into this moment, we give thanks for this whole web of life on planet Earth, for the beauty here, the infinite intelligence, and for all of the animals, celebrating their lives, all the ecosystems that support our life, the forests and rivers, the mountains, the lakes and streams and oceans, the clouds and rain, the deserts, the Arctic regions, this amazing, intelligent being. Thank you. We give thanks for all of the humans on the whole human family on our journey of awakening out of the delusions of materialism, of domination and exploitation, the truth of our original nature as expressions of wisdom and compassion, joy and freedom, kindness and respect. And we give thanks for all of the teachers in our life, for all the teachings of all the traditions of wisdom. We give thanks for all of our loved ones and for everyone who is working to be part of the awakening of humanity. We send our love especially to those who are standing close to the great change we call death, knowing that ultimately there is no death, that what we are was never born and will never die. Taking a moment now and allowing the music to connect us with our purpose. Whatever we feel our purpose, our mission is in this lifetime, our reason for being here. Take a moment now and visualize a light, a beautiful white light, shining at the very heart of the universe, pouring down now through the top of our head, washing down, clearing away any obstacles to radiant health, wisdom and understanding, washing down through our entire brain and eyes and ears and nose and sinuses, through our entire head into our neck, this beautiful light just washing and cleansing. Removing all the obstacles to the functioning of our intuitive wisdom, down through our shoulders and our upper arms, lower arms and hands, streaming out through our fingers, and down through our upper chest and upper back, down through our upper body, all the organs, down into our abdomen and down into the pelvic region. This beautiful light washing away any wounds or obstacles to the free functioning of creativity, joy, and peace and love and harmony flowing through every dimension of our life. the benefit of all living beings. Down through our upper legs, our knees and lower legs, ankles and feet, streaming out through the soles of our feet. So we feel our body as a beautiful stream of living light. And our heart open to this light. So now with every exhalation, we radiate this light as loving kindness and benevolence and goodwill in all directions, simultaneously, breathing and radiating love to all living beings, not only to our friends and loved ones, even to those who are causing us problems or who are a challenge. We send love to everyone, all living beings, humans, all creatures. Abiding in our true home of loving kindness. With every inhalation now we engender in our heart the feeling of compassion, the yearning that others be free from suffering, and the yearning to act, to help relieve their suffering. And with every exhalation, we radiate compassion to all living beings. May all beings be free from suffering. May we act with our body, speech, and mind to help relieve the suffering of others. Be a force of liberation from delusion on this earth and in every dimension. Breathing and radiating compassion, abiding in compassion. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings, everywhere. With every inhalation, now we engender in our heart the feeling of joy. This is the great joy that is ever present in our consciousness as the truth of our being. The joy that needs no pretexts or reasons in the outer world. With every exhalation, we radiate this joy. We allow it to overflow from our heart in ever-expanding spheres of light. Giving thanks that all beings are established in their true nature of being, of joy, abiding in our true home of joy. And now finally we come home into our heart. Into the awareness and the feeling of peace and harmony. A great peace that arises spontaneously when we understand our true nature. That what we are is essentially undamageable by anything in the three-dimensional world. The peace that comes as we abide in love and compassion and joy. We are at peace, and we allow this peace to radiate from our heart. Knowing that all living beings below the surface of illusion are at peace. There is one life. And we see the whole earth now bathed in the light of truth, in the light of peace and harmony, in the light of being. So abiding in our true home of love, of compassion, of joy, of peace. Passion, joy, and peace. And we just rejoice and give thanks, seeing that all slaughterhouses, factory farms, insane asylums and hospitals, prisons, empty. All delusion is dispelled. For the benefit of all living beings, of the 10 directions and the 3 times. Each and every one of us, in the days and weeks ahead, continue at every moment to unfold our consciousness to the highest level for the benefit of all living beings. We give thanks, knowing this is so, and so it is. Bless you all. Thank you for joining us. I'm delighted to see you. Thank you, Lisa, for letting people in while I had my eyes closed. And so, as I said before, our time of meditation, this is an open time. We have another maybe 30 to 40 minutes or so to discuss any questions or concerns or celebrate any victories or challenges. You can celebrate challenges too, right? That we may be facing. If no one has anything that specifically they'd like to bring up, I have lots of things I like to talk about. So I'll just see if anyone raises their hand. Feel free to do so. You can press the react, I think, and raise your hand, or just unmute yourself. But yeah, so from my own, let's see, it's been a month since we've had our meditation time, and it's been a, you know, every day seems so eventful in terms of what's happening in the world and the changes that are going on all the time. I see a lot of good things happening and some more difficult things perhaps, but I've been thinking, I think the last time we were together, I remember at one point I read that row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, merrily, 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 life is but a dream, and to kind of discuss that idea. And I think there's another kind of idea brewing in my consciousness that I thought it would be kind of interesting to talk a little bit about also, which is, you know, animal agriculture has these reverberations out into our world that are so damaging to society and to ecosystems and to our health and to our consciousness. And so one of the things that we don't talk about very much, I've never really talked about at all as part of that, but I was just thinking, you know, this is something that our culture really needs. I mean, I guess we all know it, but it still seems to need to be necessary to be talked about. Is how it affects not only our physical health, psychological health, spiritual health, and all that, but also sexuality. You know, sexuality, I nobody likes to really talk about that, but I just think it's important because it's really bizarre and strange and in our society, I guess. That's the feeling I have. It's just this whole sexualization and objectification of others as objects to be used sexually. It's really something we grow up with, I think, as men, you know, I mean, just as roles, but, you know, we kind of, I was trained to kind of, as a kid, growing up and playing a lot of sports and, you know, being in the locker rooms, hockey locker room, football locker room, you know, and there's all this talk about girls when you're, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, whatever it is, years old, and this whole idea of seeing them as objects. And then, of course, women are like, know that they're being seen as objects and try to look good and be attractive, and, you know, there's this thing. But what I see, though, is that there's these you don't really see it in the outer margins of society and so forth. There are forces that prey upon us, that dominate and exploit us through this. So I think it comes out of animal agriculture. You know, animal agriculture essentially is three things. It's imprisoning animals and killing the animals, but the other main thing is it's sexually abusing them, right? They're all impregnated against their will, and their babies are stolen, and then they're impregnated again. So it's really the heart and soul core of animal agriculture is sexual abuse. That's the foundation of it. That's where we really went the wrong way, I think, back when we started herding animals instead of, besides hunting them. Hunting them, you're not doing that. But when you herd them, you sexually abuse them. And so that, I think, really set in motion a lot of extremely dark stuff going on. And this idea that I mentioned it once, I think, of a month or two ago, that God loves, or the divine loves, and that the devil or the satanic or egoic force lusts. And how that is, like, love treats others with kindness and respect, and naturally, I mean, when we love another, we want the best for them, and there's a sense of doing the best we can to be loving and to be kind and caring and so forth. That just spontaneously arises. The wall between the self and the other sort of dissolves, and there's this feeling of we're connected and we want the best for the other because there's this awareness. And lust is the exact opposite of that. One is spiritual, the other is material. So in lust, there's a sense of how can I get something from this object that I see out there that can fulfill my desire or whatever it is that I want. And it's the same thing with animals, right? When we eat the flesh, like they even call it lusting after the flesh, right? I want to have a burger. I want to have some bacon. I'd like to have some cheese. You know, it's this lust, it's this desire that we can get something and see the other as an instrument or an object to be used. And the way this is played out, I think, is hard to imagine the incredible, incredible impact this has on relationships that we are raised in this. Like I say sometimes, like we can't imagine a vegan world, right? I mean, a world that's totally vegan. It's hard to even imagine. Just that's it. Nobody even thinks about eating, you know, exploiting animals. And it's also, I think, hard to imagine a world where sex is actually natural. You know, where breasts are just mammary glands. And buttocks are just muscles for walking. You walk around, and reproductive organs are just reproductive organs that you use to have children, right? They're just for children. That's what they're for, right? I mean, it's very we make this such an incredibly huge thing about these things, and everything is sexualized. I remember, you know, when I go into an auto parts store to buy tires or something, or they have, you know, in the back they have these, you know, they have a girl in a bikini, you know, to sell wrenches or whatever. I mean, everything is like we use sex to sell everything. And then what's happened with the internet and how it's just exploded, this whole pornography just racing through society, rampantly racing through society, and it's damaging so many young men and young people, this objectification of the female mainly, and then of children. I mean, and you know, and of course, as I've said, and we all know, animal agriculture is not just about sexually exploiting primarily female animals, although males are also exploited, because you have to masturbate the males to get the sperm, and they put in the sperm gun. So the whole thing is all sexual exploitation of males and females, but of children in animal terms, right, in human terms, these are just maybe 4 or 5 month old pigs and cows and chickens, or even younger. I mean, turkeys, it's just pedophilia on a massive scale by the millions every day when it comes to animal agriculture, what we do to them to get bacon, get these foods onto our plate. So there's this massive sexual abuse of animals, and then we see how it's playing out in our human world in ways that are completely destructive of spirituality and of harmony and of love and kindness and caring among human beings. It just seems so, we can't even imagine how far we strayed from healthy sexuality. I think it's really mind-boggling, I think. And the fact that there's even people talking about changing the laws to allow pedophilia or to allow bestiality. They're talking about that in California, changing the laws. It's okay. You know, we can have sex with animals. We can have sex with children. And this, you know, basic kind of a thing. And then the other thing, I guess it's sort of a background to this for me, is the good news, which I remember this so clearly. Like I had all this, you know, sexual energy and everything. I remember when I was in high school and college and then my brother and I went on the road. We were on this spiritual pilgrimage, and it just evaporated into thin air. It's completely disappeared. I mean, 100% disappeared. And we were just so focused on attaining enlightenment and meditating and walking. And I would never in my wildest dreams look at a female, like, sexually. It would just... was absurd. It was like it would be disgusting, or it wouldn't even be possible. It's kind of like, as a vegan, I wouldn't look at a pig and say, oh, I can't wait to have a bacon or something. You know, or if we smell, like people sometimes say, oh, if you're a vegan and you smell a barbecue, you must wish you could have it or something like that. It's like, no, I don't wish I could have it. I feel like sorry for the crazy people that are actually eating it and the poor animal that died. There's no attraction at all. And it was the same thing, and it went. And this went on for years. I mean, it was like, and then I ended up at a Zen center in Alabama. There was all these pretty girls walking around. You know, I could care less. I wasn't even the slightest bit interested. I was so focused on awakening, and living in Tibetan Buddhist centers and all this other stuff. And then I was a Zen monk in Korea, you know, and living in the monastery. And it was just, so my whole 20s, really, it was like it just disappeared, and the whole sexual thing completely disappeared. So I think it's not like it has to get us. It's like, I think if we just focus on a higher level and really focus on our purpose, then we don't have to be wrestling with this so much. However we do. I mean, I know it's different for everybody. We all have our own, you know, whatever story with it. But I think it's something that's just very interesting, you know, to see how the preoccupations and everything that go along with this whole thing, how they trap us, and then how which I think it's true. I mean, in Buddhism we talk about Mara, you know, the sort of the satanic force, how it uses lust really to trap us, you know, that we could get something, and it's and how do we respond to that? How do we create communities where there's really healthy sexuality? You know, I think that's a really interesting thing. I think it goes right along with the food. I think so. Actually, I'm writing this. It came to me, you know, kind of like last time in a dream, but it came to me. There's the seven deadly sins. We talked about the seven deadly sins, which in the Christian tradition, which are pride, greed, envy, lust, gluttony, anger, and sloth. You know, that those seven attitudes basically really not only harm us, but they make it easy for us to be enslaved. When we have these kind of things, it's hard for us to grow spiritually, and it's easy for us to be enslaved by malevolent powers. And there's the seven heavenly virtues, which are used in order to combat those. And that's a universal teaching. It's Christian, but there's similar teachings in the Buddhist tradition. There's the five poisons and the five wisdoms. It's similar. But it occurred to me that we have these seven deadly psyops in our society. Seven deadly massive deceptions that come through our educational system, and they really enslave us. And so those seven are, I'll just say, because I'm in the middle of writing this essay, I guess, about that. The first one is herderism, you know, the idea that we, in order to get enough protein and calcium, we need to imprison animals and eat their flesh. That's the number one. That's the biggest. When you enslave animals, you end up getting enslaved. Number two is what I'm talking about, sexual preoccupation and obsession and this whole thing. We make such a big thing out of something that's really relatively straightforward and can be very healthy and very lovingly creating children. That's it. It doesn't have to have all these. I think we have to be really unhappy to think that we can somehow get happiness through sex. I mean, like, that's going to give it, like, some kind of thing like that's going to give us some kind of happiness. So, but the thing is, when we get free of that, the joy, the level of joy, spiritual joy, is so infinitely better. It's like good vegan food is so infinitely better than eating hamburgers or hot dogs or whatever. It's even more of that. I mean, it's like the joy that comes from feeling, I mean, the joy that I walk around every day, like, I can hardly stand it. I'm so happy. You know, it's because I, you know, I'm not looking for pleasure in some kind of material thing. That's, like, ridiculous. That's number two. Number three is scientific materialism. That's another deception, that somehow materialistic science will save us. We'll get this new technology, AI. You know, it'll take away all our problems. We can solve everything. We can have more security and more comfort. I mean, it's the opposite. It just makes us more and more stupid, sick, enslaved. That's all it does. I mean, really, quite honestly. So that's the third big psyop, is scientific materialism. Or materialistic science, I guess is how I should say it, is some kind of positive thing. The fourth one is fractional reserve banking. That's a huge one. I mean, if we knew how a few people can use the banking system to manufacture money and keep it for themselves and then buy everything, buy the media, buy the narratives, buy the corporations, buy the government, buy the education, buy the religion, buy everything, and completely enslave us through the bank. It's through banking. That's really it. that's how it's done. Federal reserves, these central banks in every country, and you give a loan out, and the people have to pay you back. And if they don't pay you back, you take their business, you take their house, you take everything. And pretty soon, you've got the whole debt, you've got everything. I mean, it's unbelievable that we're actually allowing this fractional reserve banking and central banks to operate the way they do. I mean, but it's because they brainwash us into it. So that's number four. Number five is the germ theory. I mean, that's another one. Oh, God, stay away. You're going to make me sick. You know, I mean, you want to enslave people to fear of each other and divide society and turn people into slaves. You just propagate this total false fear of bacteria and viruses. There's no such thing as viruses, I've really discovered. I mean, there's exosomes with cellular breakdown, but there's nothing going to hurt you. And I just read a very interesting book called Can You Catch a Cold? Can You Catch a Cold? By Daniel Roitas. I read the whole book. It's really good. He's a real scientist. He's objective. He doesn't have an axe to grind. But he says, let's look at the scientific research where scientists tried to get people to transmit a disease from one person to another. And he goes through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of experiments and research projects where people tried to get somebody else sick. You know, like they have runny nose, sore throat, whatever it is they got, and they spit on them, and they embrace them, kiss them, do whatever. Like they can virtually never get somebody to make somebody else sick. You know, they can't do it. So it's very interesting, I mean, to read that and to just think about how people get poisoned by toxins and chemicals. And then people get sick and they think, oh, you gave it to me. Or the mind, right? The nocebo effect, right? We have the placebo effect. We have also the nocebo effect where we're afraid of something. And so we get that. Well, I'm afraid you're going to make me sick. Oh, man, I feel sick now. So anyway, so there's the germ theory. Number five, I think. Number six is overpopulation. That's another one. Oh, there's too many people. We've got to kill them off. Bill Gates saying, well, if we vaccinate enough people, then we can reduce the population to a manageable level. And again, I think we need to just go vegan, right? We need to eat in a different way. And then this last one is the whole climate change narrative, which is used to as a pretext to put us into corrals, put us into 50-minute cities so we can't travel, and to imprison us like we do animals. So these are the seven deadly psyops. And I think all of these things really do affect us as individuals in our society. We go to school as little children. Every little kid going into school, the teacher will have this colorful thing on the wall about climate change and how, you know, she cares a lot about climate change and teach all the little kids about it. We all believe it. You know, we're just like little parrots parroting. Yeah, it's climate change, carbon dioxide. We got to reduce carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is actually what makes plants grow. You want to increase carbon dioxide. You don't want to decrease. It's not a poison. It's the most benevolent gas there is. But anyway, so all these lies, these deceptions, these psyops, they're basically injected into us, and it's very hard to defend ourselves because they're pervasive. And when we question them, oh my gosh, the other day, there's a woman that actually lives right here in Lake County, and she used to come to all our potlucks, and she's totally freaked out about COVID. Now she's freaked out again about COVID. And, she heard that in here in California, there's places, and she's wearing a mask again. But she heard that I made a video with Jeff Nelson about climate change, and so now she went on Facebook and she's just ranting and raving about Dr. Will Tuttle, and it's so sad that he's become a Trump supporter and a Q supporter, and he destroyed our potluck and. Now nobody's wearing masks anymore, and what are we going to do? So I'm seeing, you know, all this kind of anger and hatred directed toward me by a certain group of people. And the whole feeling I have is I just love them, really. I mean, I can't help it. It's like I can see they've been brainwashed, and it's not their fault. It's just there's no defense. Like, people don't have any defense. They're just even vegans, you know, think you would think vegans of all people would be have defenses up and would question things, and it doesn't happen. They get hysterically afraid of things, and we're in a time in our society where that's spreading, and it's like our whole culture is dividing up into these two tribes that are like kind of fight to the death or something. So I'm hoping that we can somehow, in a spiritual consciousness, see that we need to talk about things. And so I mentioned that I should kind of wrap it up here. Well, it's not time. I'll wrap it up, though. Sailesh Rao, who's like a gung-ho climate guy, and me, who's a gung-ho no climate guy. We had our discussion on Saturday, and it's a recorded. I haven't really put it out there. Maybe I should. I think it went pretty well. You know, we each gave our presentation, and we had a talk. And sometimes it was kind of more of an argument, but for the most part, we respected each other, and we saw that we have a lot of similarities, and we have certain differences. So that is going to happen again on October 4th, and instead of just being a private YouTube. Sort of recorded, it's going to be more public and people can ask questions of both of us. And so that's what I think is good, essentially. I think we need to have discussions. Just talk about, like, okay, you think I'm wrong about this? Then tell me, like, what I'm wrong about. That's like, never happens, it seems like, in the vegan movement. It's always, you're wrong and I'm going to cancel you. So this having discussions and creating a more open context, I think, for us to discover that maybe we, and myself too, I may still be, I'm sure I am, suffering under psyops, under these massive deceptions that are just, they go out through the mainstream media, and we have to keep our discernment sharp, I think, in order to navigate these waters today. But fundamentally, I think it comes back to not only questioning the official narratives in our society, but also to cultivate a sense of kindness and love for others and really take time every day to meditate so that we're in touch with the truth that we are not a material object that was born and will die. We are the infinite life that is just manifesting for a few short years, a few short decades through this vehicle that we tend to wrongly identify with, and with this name and this form. And when we do that, I think we can start to shine a little light onto the situation. And we see that happening, you know, which I'm really glad to see. So that's my 7 Deadly Psyops article that I'm working on. And I thought I'd just share some of that with you folks. And I think it does relate to the underlying issues that we have both in the outer world but also in the inner level. These are powerful energies that we all call to deal with: food, sexuality, political, economic realities, and health, disease. How is disease actually transmitted? You know, these are, you know, there's so much misinformation about these things. And I think if we don't address them, then they're addressed for us, you know. And maybe the final thing I'll say, which I think is actually pretty valid, is the idea. And some of you are aware of this already, but maybe you all are, of fifth generation warfare. You know that, you know, warfare typically goes. People see it like it's gone through these five generations. The first generation was just, you know, people physically fighting with each other, and the second generation was when people started having guns and cannons and shooting. You know, and so we get farther apart, and then it went to you know, planes and bombs and this kind of stuff, and then it went to more. Subtle kinds of things where it's drones and guerrilla warfare, terrorism, things like that. And then fifth generation warfare is sort of what we are now, which is basically the battlefield is just the consciousness of the population. That's the battlefield. And the so-called enemy is not some foreign country or something. It's actually embedded in the institutions in society, and it's using the institutions in society to dominate and tyrannize and emerge victorious over the people, like to really to treat, to basically enslave us the way we enslave livestock. So this is fifth generation warfare, and I think all seven of these psyops really are powerful in reducing our power. And we have a really good friend. I don't know much about pornography, but he's a beautiful vegan guy, and he went through, he said, about 10 years of terrible darkness in his life because he became addicted to pornography. You know, that number two, that sexual thing. And he said it really drains energy and just, it's so harmful. And I don't think this is an accident. I think this, all this stuff is going on as part of the enslavement effort. And so we have, so we're called, I think, when we come here to this earth, I think we're, when we come here, we're kind of like, in a way, spiritual, I don't like to use the word warriors because it sounds like war, but spiritual beacons, like we're beacons to shine the light of a higher vibration to help our brothers and sisters not be ensnared by these delusions, which are so powerful. So, anyway, that's it. So please raise your hand if you have something you'd like to talk about. Thanks, Susan. I know. It's important, you know. We need to talk about these things. Let's see. So, Gino, you had your hand up. Yes.
Yeah, well, thanks for this. I have heard you mention sexuality to some degree over all these years, but not so much as tonight. And I'm so glad that you emphasized that, because it can really be a sickness in this world. And just like all the other things that you have tied into animal agriculture, same thing. It affects our consciousness to do all these different things. And then I found myself feeling curious, because you mentioned when you were in school, like the locker room and the guys, you know, talking about the girls and, you know, and their dates and did you have sex with her and all that. And sometimes it got very graphic and crude. And I remember hearing this, and I wasn't really involved in all that. And I remember feeling very uncomfortable hearing that, but having to kind of pretend that I was involved. That's the pressure you feel when you're in high school. And then during grade school, junior high, whatever, being not molested, but approached by men who were trying to get me to have sex, you know, and it felt so creepy, I can't tell you. And, of course, all that stuff still goes on. So I started thinking, you know, I wonder if today, if you were in a high school locker room, if you would hear this same kind of bantering with the boys and young men. I also, because, you know, pedophilia has been in the news a ton, a lot of it having to do with the Epstein thing, but minus that, still sex trafficking and a lot of that. So over these years, has that increased, do you think, or what? I mean, is it because animal agriculture is just not diminishing very much, that this is continued to grow? And are the kids in high school continuing to do what they did before years ago? What are your thoughts on me?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure if I'm the right person to answer your question accurately, but from my input that I've gotten from various people and media sources and so forth, I think it has probably increased. I think, unfortunately, the last, like when I was, you and I are about the, probably roughly the same age in our 70s, so we're talking going back into the 60s and 70s, and I think back then there were more, there were still more conservative values, family values. We didn't have sexual education courses or anything like that. It was, there certainly wasn't any kind of trans thing going on, or, I mean, it was, I think it was, I just feel like from what I've seen that it's a lot, it's more. But the other thing I have to say is that I think it's changed, and maybe it isn't, because in the last maybe just the last recent years, maybe 5 or 10 years, there's been a really powerful push to shame men in general. Like toxic masculinity has become a sort of one of the sort of war cries of the left. And I think that's really undermined a lot of basic confidence that men have to interact with women. And so there's, as I see it, there's a lot of loss of real polarity, maybe, with men. But when there's polarity between men and women, there's sort of this juice, this energy. But I think as men get more afraid to be assertive or to be, you know, they're afraid of being criticized or whatever, they kind of pull back and they're not confident, and so they don't interact. So what I've read, and it may not be true because it's mainly from the media, is that there's just a lot less dating, less marrying, less men and women. Like women are like, we want the men back, and the men are kind of afraid to interact with them, because if they do anything, they'll be charged with sexual inappropriateness and all this. So they just like, all right, I don't need you women, you know, heck with all this. And so there's kind of this collapse of a lot of things. Plus, human beings are so poisoned now. There's so much they're so toxified. Young people, a lot of them have had 50 or 60 vaccines. Their bodies are full of poisons. They can't have babies. I mean, I when I was a kid, there was no such thing as, like, what do they call them? These clinics, where fertility clinics for, you know, people. They didn't have to worry about getting pregnant. And now, like, nobody can get pregnant. I mean, you got to have coaches, you got to have test tubes, and you got to have all this technology. I was giving a lecture. And this guy, after I was talking to him, and he's an acupuncturist, and he works for a fertility clinic in Sacramento or somewhere. And he was saying that business is booming. Like, nobody can get pregnant without some kind of physical intervention by the doctors and scientists to kind of get the thing to work, because it doesn't work. So people are, I think, unfortunately, that's part of the agenda. I mean, if you want to create people who are livestock, you want to just radically reduce their confidence, their health, their vitality, the sense of family, right? You want to take the kids away from the mothers and the parents. So that was what happened. I mean, that's really what happened. I mean, the so-called women's liberation movement was basically, the reason it went so well was because it was what the Rockefellers wanted. They wanted to have the women away from the kids. They wanted to give us the kids so we can indoctrinate them. We don't want the parents to raise their kids. We want to take the kids away from the parents. Then you can control society. So that's, I think, basically the game plan, and it's worked very well. I think now in California, I mean, we're leading the way. There's, you know, now kids can have sex change operations without the parents even knowing it. They're passing laws like this. They want to take the kids away from the parents, break down the family, and if you want to enslave people, that's what you do, because the main obstacle to enslaving humanity is strong family ties and love, you know, that kind of thing. If you isolate people so they're lone individuals, kind of nervous and anxious, they're easy to control, you know. So that's something I think that most of the people in the vegan movement are sort of asleep to these realities and go along with the so-called progressive push for really, I think in many ways, the kids really suffer in all of this tremendously. So I think there's a lot of confusion among kids now with all the things that are thrown at them, and the fact that they have to spend so much time interacting with computers and iPhones instead of, like, when I was a kid, I was just out playing. I was just throwing a ball and running around and swimming and skating and skiing and playing hockey, and I was outside. I mean, I was totally out. I was a totally outdoor addict, and I think that's getting lost, and so that, I think all that undermines healthy sexuality, quite honestly. You get people that aren't really healthy, and, you know, we need to see these happening? It's such a great question. Thank you so much. There's a few more people that would like to say something. So if that's okay, Gino, I'll go on to the next, if that's okay.
Sure. Thank you, Will.
Yeah.
Madeline's, what is it?
It's 3 minutes. Okay, we only have a couple more minutes. Okay, Elaine, you have a comment or a question? You're muted, so you have to unmute there, and then we can go. And then, yeah, we do have to kind of wrap it up in a few minutes here, so sorry. You're still muted. Yeah, okay, now you're good.
Okay, yeah, here in Auburn, California, 3 days per year, Gold Country Fairgrounds holds a rodeo.
Right.
And I go pick it at the rodeo, and it is scary. I mean, does anybody else here have to deal with a rodeo with, like, in their backyard?
Yeah.
It's really bad.
Well, thank you for going there and speaking up for the animals. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
No, that's the I know, it's sort of celebrating human domination of other living beings, you know.
Oh, it's terrible, and they must be torturing the animals to get them to act.
Oh, they do.
They do, because that's not the way they act normally.
No, they have flank straps.
It's
they
horrible.
Tighten. Yeah, no, they're electroshocking them. They're doing all this stuff, for sure.
Yeah, but, like, burn them under their saddles or something. It's awful.
No,
of course,
they do.
It's only 3 days per year, but
no,
it's
I know.
Bad. It's really bad.
No, those are like almost as bad as bullfights. But you're right. Thank you for.
That would be bad too. Yeah,
I appreciate that. Thank you, Elaine. Okay, last one, Angel. You're muted. Okay, good.
Okay, thank you, Will. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for your beautiful opening meditation. And I'm just awestruck of how you can play the piano with your eyes closed and speak at the same time and have it be all so flowing and so seamless. You're just so talented and gifted to be able to do all that, and it's like without even looking at the keys and talking at the same time. I don't know how you do it, but I think it's quite amazing. So the first thing I want to do is just thank and acknowledge you for that, number one.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's miraculous, really. And then number two is when you were talking about these different generations of warfare, I just wanted to add to that, like right now on Maui, there. Google is targeting these mosquitoes to be released that are bioengineered bioweapons of making Maui ground zero of these toxic mosquito release. So I know our time is up, so we can just wrap this up. But when we're talking about warfare, I want to talk about there's weather warfare. With the fires we've had, there's a lot
right.
of information coming out about this microwave type technology that is contributing to these devastating situations. So when you're talking about the generations of warfare, I think the, you know, mosquito bio weaponry, the weather warfare, the fire where, you know, there's so many different aspects to that that I just wanted to contribute to what you were saying about those generations of warfare.
Thank you, Angel. I really appreciate you bringing that up. You know, that's really important, and that goes together. Like the weather warfare is part of the climate change psyop, and this whole mosquito thing is part of the germ theory thing, and this whole chemicalization of nature and using animals and scientific materialism, of course, that's another psyop. So they're all aspects of these psyops, and these psyops all they all support each other. They all strengthen each other in countless ways. It's a really, Madeline, I was telling Madeline, I need to write a whole book about it, really. It's a huge subject. But thank you. Thanks for that so much.
Yeah.
We send our
well,
love
now
to you.
They're even saying they're going to vaccinate us against through mosquitoes.
Through mosquitoes, right. Oh, I know. They're talking about mosquitoes delivering that. Bill Gates, he gets really excited when he talks about that. He's got a big smile on his face, like, yeah, we can use mosquitoes to vaccinate. And in Canada, they're actually talking about having vaccines come through airplanes that just drop fly over with a chemtrail mist, and that'll vaccinate you. So don't put it past scientists to use these things. So we have to be aware. So anyway, it's the most important thing is to keep our consciousness high and to keep speaking up about these things also, I think is important. All right, so let's join together. Thank you, everyone, again, for your kind attention. And let's have our Judy. Is Judy still here? Yeah, there she is. Hi, Judy. Yeah, this is the prayer circle for animals. We say it every day at noon. And I think everybody knows what it is. And Madeline's right here.
Yay.
So let's say our prayer together. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings
everywhere.
Yes, unmute, please. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings
everywhere.
Yay. One more time. Compassion encircles the earth, all beings everywhere. Wow. That's the truth. And go forth and multiply it and make it even more. So thank you. We'll look forward to seeing you next time. Much love. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Will. Thank you, Carla.